Well, it's great to be here today. It's a blessing. We have been blessed to already study together and eat the Lord's Supper together and pray together. It's been a helpful morning already. We're glad that all of you are able to get out today in this cold morning, and some folks that are visiting with us, we appreciate you coming and worshiping God together with us. I'd like to spend some time today talking about the Old Testament leading up to Jesus, focusing on his role as a shepherd. I appreciate Caleb asking even last night. He knew I was going to preach some lessons along this line, and asking about singing some songs. And he's already done that for us, and we'll have an invitation song in a moment that will go with the words of the lesson, the words of the text, I hope. It didn't take long in human history for God to introduce a shepherd into the story. The second son of Adam and Eve was Abel. And when they were called to offer worship to God, offer a sacrifice, Abel brought a lamb from his flock. And when he offered that, God accepted that, the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, he offered a more excellent sacrifice. And we know the sad rest of that story is that his brother offered something else. If faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, we would conclude that without knowing any more than we have revealed to us, that Abel offered to God what God required of him to offer. Been a pretty unusual to think that God said, offer whatever you want, and if you do it with the right attitude, I'll accept it. I've heard that explanation. I can't agree with it. I think that Abel offered what he was supposed to offer. And so as a shepherd, he takes one of his lambs, firstlings of the flock, and he kills it and offers it in sacrifice to his God. And he ends up being killed by an envious brother whose sacrifice is not received by God. Jesus, the chief shepherd, came and, as a Lamb of God, gave his life for me and you. But in actuality, because of his godliness, his righteousness, his devotion to his God, he was killed by his envious brethren. And all of that played out for our good and our benefit. So God, I think God was already, if I can surmise a little bit for a moment, that putting in the picture of what he was going to do as a father, someday giving his son to die for us, the righteous son of God, as a sacrifice and offering for us so that we could be cleansed of our sins. Jacob, while in the land of Canaan, in the story of Joseph, he's sold into Egypt. And when he gets there, he has some problems he runs into. But at the end of that, he ends up having a good deal of power. And a famine occurs over the land of Canaan, over that whole area. And so Jacob sends his sons to Egypt to find grain. And you know how that story plays out. That eventually, through some interesting part of the story, the brothers come to know that it's Joseph, the brother they had sold into captivity, who they now stand before, and he in tears, thankful that they're there, and that has the chance to meet his, see his father again. And so he's now standing before Pharaoh, pleading the case, or speaking for his family, who are going to come to Egypt, all about 75 of them or so. But there was a problem about where they were going to live, and the problem was that the Egyptians found shepherds to be an abomination, Genesis 46 and verse 34. We don't know why they didn't like shepherds. A little background perhaps, can't be sure of it, but that they may have had some run-ins with these nomadic tribes who moved around from place to place, unlike the Egyptians, who had become very urban, very centered in their own cities and their power and their glory. It's amazing to think about all that they built. and what they thought of themselves. And so it's kind of dismissed these nomadic tribes, and they didn't want much to do with them. They didn't want their people interacting with them, perhaps. And so there was a particular area where Joseph said, well, let us have the land of Goshen. And they were given that land. And that's where Jacob and his family lived for the next several years until they became such a great nation, great in number, that the Egyptians began to be afraid of them. The Pharaoh that didn't know Joseph began to be afraid, and he began to oppress them. In all of that, God was shepherding his sheep. In all of that, God was providing. All of that, God was overseeing and caring for, taking care of his shepherds and his sheep. God is the great shepherd. God is the shepherd of Psalm 23. The Lord looking over his people. You know, Jesus is looking out for me and you. He's the shepherd that cares about us, oversees. We'll see in just a moment. He's looking out for us in a world that abhors his shepherds and his sheep. The world will hate us. The world will want nothing to do with us when they realize who we are and what we stand for. And as kindly and gently and lovingly as we may do that, we will not be honored by people of the world, generally speaking, by and large. And yet God is still looking over us. He still cares for us. And he's, I think, showing that in this picture. Well, through all of that, God interacting in the life of Moses, and Moses kills the Egyptian when he finds out that they know about it, and he fears for his own life. He leaves Egypt after being raised in the practices of the Egyptians, and he went to Midian. And when he gets to Midian, he helps the daughters of the priests of Midian to get water for their flocks when some shepherds came and drove these daughters away from the well. Looked out for them, Moses was, these young ladies who were taking care of their father's sheep. Well, guess what? In Exodus chapter 2 and chapter 3, Moses ended up becoming a shepherd of the flock belonging to Jethro, his father-in-law, after he married Zipporah. And so here's Moses, now a shepherd. And God appears to him in chapter 3 in a burning bush and speaks to him that he's going to be sent back to Egypt, back to be the one to stand before Pharaoh as a shepherd, no longer the one trained as an Egyptian. He goes back as a Hebrew, as a despised shepherd, to stand before Pharaoh to declare, "You are going to let my people go." Here's a Hebrew trained in the ways of Egyptians, becoming a shepherd, going back to Egypt to lead a bunch of shepherds out of that bondage into their promised land. God, in the form of flesh, deity, became flesh. Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus with us, became like us. He left the portals of heaven. He left the ivory palaces to come here and be one of us. God used a lowly shepherd to save a bunch of lowly shepherds and their sheep. He's doing the same thing, even for us. When it appeared that Moses' time was about out, running out, near the end of his life, Numbers 27, he pleaded with God, prayed to God, to set a man over the congregation so that they would not be, and I quote, Numbers 27, verses 16 and 18, verse 16 in particular, like sheep, so that they would not be like sheep which have no shepherd. Didn't want to leave them without someone to lead them. And so he asked God, and God said, appoint Joshua to lead the people. God chose Jesus, the New Testament Joshua, to lead the people who are scattered like sheep without a shepherd. You remember a while back in Matthew 9, Jesus saw the multitudes in verse 36. He was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. The common people of the day who were the more inclined to be thoughtful of the things of God than the leadership of the day, who were providing them no real shepherding. They were able to, they were the religious leaders making certain decisions, but they weren't shepherding the people. They really didn't care about the people much, apparently. And Jesus sees that, and he comes as the shepherd, and he has this great concern for them, and he wants to bring them together, and he wants them to have a shepherd so they can know who it is trying to lead them ultimately in the first place, and that is God. And so the Lord set a man over his congregation. The Lord has set Jesus over his church so that we would not be like sheep which have no shepherd. Well, it doesn't take long for us to think about this theme of shepherding in the Old Testament to come to King David. King David was a shepherd himself. When it came time to be called, he was out taking care of the sheep. All of his brothers have been passed over, and here's the youngest brother, and Samuel comes to him, and God says, this is him. This is the one that's going to lead my people. Saul was a disaster, a disappointment, at the least. And David was chosen by God to lead his people as a shepherd. I thought something interesting, by the way, and that's all that it is for the moment. How many Psalms refer to the Lord as their shepherd? When you think about David being the shepherd, writing many of the Psalms, how many would you guess? Would you guess two? I missed that one. I looked that up and I thought, really? Only two places. The one we just sang, Psalm 23 and Psalm 80, when in fact the psalmist is pleading with God to please come and shepherd your people because they have become scattered and due to their own unfaithfulness. You remember the story of Nabal and Abigail when David was on the run from Saul. And as he's under all of this distress, he's hungry, he wants some food, but he's out in the wilderness, or out in the countryside, and he sees the shepherds of Nabal. I'm not sure he knew they were his at the point, but nevertheless he cared about them, which would have made sense. He was a shepherd, he cared about what they did, there was a relationship with them, and he looked out after them. And then when he sent in for some food and water, something for his men, you remember Nabal had nothing to do with him because he was a foolish, evil man, evil-hearted man. And you know the rest of the story. But the picture I want you to think about right now is he's a shepherd helping other shepherds at a time when he was under duress. He was a shepherd that was qualified to do that. He had times in his own life, he had a bear and a lion. That while he was shepherding the sheep, he protected the sheep. And so he understood what it meant to be a shepherd, the challenges of being a shepherd. And he helped these other shepherds. We have a shepherd who, while under duress for our sins, while suffering because of our sins, and I would dare say from the point they was born into the world, they came to be one of us, to leave heaven and come here. And certainly at the cross, was willing to look out for the shepherds and the sheep who would be his people. God chose his own son to be our shepherd and our king. Look back in Ezekiel with me. Ezekiel predicted the day was coming that God would send someone that would shepherd his people, unlike the ones that had been appointed. We'll notice in a later lesson, in verse 1 of 34, beginning, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. The ones who should have been shepherding Israel were not. I believe in the context he's probably talking about the kings who were leading the people, who should have been like David, who cared about the people and shepherding them, leading them by example and by word. But they failed to do all of that. Again, we're going to come back and look at the things they failed to do as an Old Testament description of what shepherds ought to do. But I'm skipping over now to verse number 23. When God promised through Ezekiel, I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, who? My servant David. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. For chapter 37, same thing. In verse 24 of 37, David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they shall all have one shepherd. They shall all walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and to do them. So the Jewish mind here who was reading this was looking for, it was a longing for to have that one shepherd that would lead them. The kings had failed. The priests had failed. The prophets had failed by and large, except God's prophets. But God's prophets were being persecuted by the false prophets. And they were looking forward to the day that one would rise up and they would know, here is one who is shepherding us, who cares about us, who loves us. And we know who that was. That was Jesus. How do we know that, by the way, in Ezekiel 37? Drop down with me. I'll read all of this in verse, yes I am, verse 25, talk myself into it. Then they shall dwell in the land that I have given to Jacob my servant, where your fathers dwelt, and they shall dwell there, they and their children, and their children's children forever, and my servant shall be their prince, their king forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them, and it shall be an everlasting covenant with them. I will establish them and multiply them, and I will set my sanctuary in their midst forever. Listen to verse 27. My tabernacle also shall be with them, and indeed I will be their God, and they shall be my people. If that's not messianic, I wouldn't know what messianic prophecies are. You know that, you see that, and that's what that is. That's looking forward to the day that you and I have now in the kingdom, in the church, in the sanctuary of the Lord. We are His sanctuary, in fact. That God was looking forward to the day that Jesus would be that shepherd, that prince, that king, the son of David. We fast forward to the New Testament. And again, I don't think that it's simply ironic that it was shepherds that were in the countryside at night that heard the angels sing, proclaiming the birth of Jesus. It was shepherds who were first told to go and tell others that the Savior had been born. It was shepherds who first came to see Jesus. It is shepherds who glorified and praised God, Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. So here are the shepherds of God's sheep who make Jesus known. That's what God wants even among His people today. At least I understand He wants this. The shepherds of God's people should make Jesus known, and they should be leading the sheep in glorifying and praising God. These are men who long for, love to, and want to worship God, and it is evident. It's plainly seen. And God chose lowly shepherds to introduce His Son into the world, or announce His coming into the world. That brings us to the New Testament, Jesus. Jesus is the chief shepherd. And ironically, He's also the Lamb to be offered up for us. He's the great shepherd of the sheep. Hebrews chapter 13. And the Hebrew writer is closing these remarks, trying to bring the Jews who are in danger of going back to the Old Testament order of things, warning them that to do so is to depart from the faith, pleading with them to be careful and warning them from chapter to chapter. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, And so God wants us to see and to think about Jesus as a shepherd. And we can't appreciate that unless we stop and think a little bit about the roles of shepherd and sheep, which we are going to do in the next lesson or two. But if we don't appreciate what a shepherd does, what he's supposed to do, and what sheep are supposed to do, how we are supposed to act, we'll never see and grasp the beauty, the value, and the eternal glory and promises in this idea that Jesus is our shepherd. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 25, speaking again of Jesus. You were like sheep going astray, that's us, but we have now returned, but you have now returned to the shepherd and the overseer, the old King James probably says bishop if I remember correctly. He is the shepherd and the bishop of our souls. There is nobody that cares more about you than Jesus. Nobody. Nobody's ever lived cares any more about you. Jesus is the demonstration in life, in human form, of how much God loves you and me. How much He cares. It's how much He wants to oversee and care for sheep who sometimes have a propensity to just wander off on our own. Which is against the very nature of sheep, by the way. But sometimes we do. And the picture is that we're the sheep, we're the ones wandering around doing things on our own, and Jesus is coming into the picture saying, listen, you're a sheep, act like it. And again, we'll talk about that some more later. If we understand His care, His concern, His love for us, is willing to give Himself, and you know where we're going to head here in just a minute. Let me mention one other passage before the last one, 1 Peter 5 and verse 4. He is the chief shepherd, as Peter was exhorting shepherds in the flock, among the flock, to be an example to the sheep as they would give account to the chief shepherd over them. Now let's go to John 10. Some old preachers like to say that was the introduction. Now we're ready for the sermon. That'll get some people fired up. Anyway, John 10, verse number 1. If you want to know what a shepherd looks like, here it is. You can't have it in a greater picture, more beautiful picture than the Lamb of God, the shepherd of us Himself, speaking to an audience. Telling them, here are the characteristics of a shepherd and a sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but by climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Jesus says, I'm going to come in the door. I'm not sneaking in. I'm not trying to come in and steal any sheep. I'm not a wolf trying to come in the middle of the night. I am the shepherd. I care about the sheep. I'm going to walk right into the front door. I'm going to be right there with them. I'm going to enter through the door. He who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. The quality of sheep is we're listening. Are we listening to Jesus? He's asking. The sheep hear His voice. They pay attention to His voice. They love His voice. When He speaks, they stop and they listen. I think about some old illustrations I've used that I think about, don't use that because nobody will have a clue except people my age. If you watch too much TV like I did, you'd remember it. The old financial advisor commercial about E.F. Hutton. And there could be people all over the place milling around on an airplane or sitting on an airplane or at a ball game or whatever. But two guys were talking about financial things. And one guy would turn to the other and said, my broker, E.F. Hutton, says. And everybody stopped. And everybody just listened to what he had to say. The picture is Jesus is speaking to us and we just need to stop and listen. Are we? Are you listening to Him? And there's a picture. He calls them by name. He calls his own sheep by name. He leads them out. He knows who they are. He knows who you are. He knows who I am. And there is comfort in that. Please see that. Please recognize that Jesus knows you. He cares about you. He loves you. He died for you. He cannot demonstrate it in any greater way than he already has. He is so devoted to you and your eternal salvation that it just, we can't even hardly talk about it. But he knows you by name. He leads them out to pasture. He knows where we need to go to eat. He's not leading us out to the desert where there's no water or grass. He's leading us to the things that satisfy, the things that we long for, the things that will fill us. And they follow him. Sheep follow the lamb. Follow the shepherd. When he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. He leads before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. They trust him. They know he cares. And they've listened to him, and they value his teaching. They value his words. They've listened carefully and know that he cares about them and that he knows best. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will follow from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. We will follow Jesus, and somebody else that stands up and says, I'm telling you what God says, and that's not what Jesus says. We don't follow him. And that's the reason that we're unique in a lot of ways, that we're unwilling as God's people to just simply say, all religions are right. They're not. There's a lot of people not listening to Jesus. They're listening to somebody who came to say that claiming to speak for Jesus. But they don't examine what Jesus said. They don't know what Jesus said. Even I and others who stand here and preach the gospel, we implore you to search the scriptures, to make sure the things taught here are so. That's your responsibility as a sheep. Verse 6, let me stop there and read that in light of some things we studied in Matthew today. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the thing. But she spoke to them, still missing it. They're still not getting it. So he talks some more to them. Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Not only did he come in the door, he is the door. You can't come into the Lord. You can't come into his sheepfold. You can't come into his church. You can't come into his kingdom unless you come in through him. And that's through faith and obedience to his will. Whoever came before me, they're not genuine. They're thieves and robbers. The genuine sheep, the sheep didn't hear them. Those who are looking for the shepherd. He says, I'm the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. When a person confesses that he believes Jesus is the Christ, he repents of his sins as the servant of Jesus taught men and women to do on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And when we're willing to be baptized for the remission of our sins, which is the purpose of baptism, we will then be saved. God adds us to his sheepfold. Jesus says, whoever enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Jesus is concerned about his sheep and he wants to feed us. And then he gives the greatest example of the good shepherd in verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Nobody else has given as much as he gave. But a shepherd lays down his life. He gives up what he wants to care for his sheep. A hireling wouldn't care. One who doesn't own the sheep, he doesn't care. A wolf comes and he runs off. He leaves the sheep and he flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. But not the shepherd. A hireling has just been hired to take care of the sheep, but they're not his. He doesn't care as much. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. And I'm known by my own. I want to tell you today that that can be true of you. If it's not, then please contemplate it being true. He wants to be your shepherd. Verse 26. If you do not believe because you're not of my sheep, as I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. That's a reproof of some Jews that were accusing him. In fact, verse number 20, many of them said to him, he has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him? Not everybody listens to Jesus. So I'll close today by asking you some questions. Are you willing to admit that you are a sheep in need of a shepherd? I'm really looking forward to. And in fact, this is one of those times where I began a lesson thinking, okay, here's what I'm going to preach. And then I decided to do this trip through the Old Testament leading up to Jesus and realized, okay, let's just do that today. And it may not be the next one. I've got two more lessons coming out of this study. One is the characteristics of shepherd, but the other is the characteristics of sheep. And I may end up just having to combine it because it may not make a whole lot of sense unless I do. But if we're not willing to understand that we're sheep, we're lost. The qualities of sheep. We need to admit we are. And that we need a shepherd. We need someone to lead us, someone to guide us, someone that cares about us, somebody who leads us to the pasture, somebody who we know his voice, we trust them, somebody who's willing to lay down their life and be there for us. And nobody ever did that any greater than Jesus. Are we willing to admit that we wander off? Are we willing to admit that we go our own way? Sheep are, and this is not very complimentary, are not the brightest animals on the planet. And we're going to have to admit, sometimes we do some really unbright things. I used to think sometimes sheep are dumb because it says in the Bible that the dumb sheep are led to the shearer. Well, dumb is not used that way there. I know that. I don't want to be careful with that. But in the bigger picture, sheep do wander off. And we do things our way. And we end up wandering off from the sheep, which is the very opposite of what sheep do. Sheep desire to be together. But we just ignorantly decide we're going to do it on our own. Can I ask you a question? How has your life turned out doing it on your own? I know how mine turned out when I decided to do things on my own. I made a mess of stuff. A mess of things that I still deal with to this day. Consequences of sins because I said, no, I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to listen to me. I'm going to listen to my friends. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And I did it. And even if right now you think you're off on your own, doing your own thing, looking out for you, looking out for number one, it's going well right now, I'm going to tell you someday it's not going to go well. And I'm just trying to tell you that. The picture is, we've got to admit we're sheep. That we need help. We need guidance. And so the final question today is, ultimately the most important thing, is are you listening to Jesus, the great shepherd? Do you know his voice? Do you? Do you know his voice? If somebody says this, do you know that's what Jesus said? Or does this sound good? Got to be able to know his voice. You can't know if what I teach you or mom and dad teaches you or your friends teach you or your preacher teaches you or your church teaches you. You can't know if that's true or not unless you know the voice of Jesus. And the picture in Scripture is every sheep is responsible for knowing his voice. Nobody can know his voice for you. We can help. We can teach. We can encourage. But in the end, it's your responsibility and mine personally to know his voice. Are you listening? Am I? God is patient. Way more than we deserve. But he's patient with us. We need to be asking ourselves, am I a sheep that understands my eternal need of a shepherd, because without him, I will wander off and ultimately lose my soul and find myself somewhere where God never intended for me to be. Thank you for listening. I want you to leave here today thinking about Jesus as the shepherd. I think the Old Testament was prophetic, type, shadow, pointing to the coming of the great shepherd, Jesus. I want you to read John chapter 10. I want you to read that and think about, is that me? Am I one of his? Am I one of his sheep? If you are not, come in the door. Come in his door. Come through him. Listen to him. Believe and obey him. And I can guarantee you, not by anything I know, but because I know his voice, I hear his voice, I read his voice, I read what he says in scripture, and this is what he says you ought to do. And when you do that, you can be assured that you will be one of his, and he will not lead you astray if you trust him and you follow him. Why not today?